This is a tough setting. Jails, nursing homes, other places that are congregate settings are exactly the kind of places where we need to bring a tremendous amount of focus. But it's challenging because unlike in nursing homes, unlike in shelters, people who are in jails, particularly given the emphasis on not locking up nonviolent offenders, the people who are there for a reason.
Tom Dart is the sheriff of Cook County, and he can answer that question. And let's just go right to that, Tom. Here we have the mayor saying there are people that are there for a reason, and how do you make a decision between nonviolent offenders, many of whom have already been released anyway, with the people left over being people that many of them should stay locked up?
Just for the, you know, right up front, the mayor has been unreal working with her. She is great, phenomenal, and gets it. We, you know, over 2 years ago, you know, I was jumping up and down saying, you know, we got to get the mentally ill and the poor people out of jail. So a lot of people came together, and we did that. And so my population dropped from about 8,000 something down to 5,500. What that meant, though, is that the vast majority of the people in the jail had been reviewed and re-reviewed, and that they had violence in their background and they were not safe to be released to the community. So unlike a lot of jurisdictions, we didn't have a lot of wiggle room to start with to, as far as reducing the population. But in spite of that, the court and the state's attorney and the public defender have all been reviewing cases, and my population has dropped since the beginning of March another 1,000. But the point I've been trying to make to people, under virtually anyone's analysis, my population now are 80, it's a little over 85% charged with violent crimes. The largest group of people in the jail right now, percentage-wise, are people charged with murder. So the days when there was people in on driving offenses and stealing, you know, a loaf of bread and stuff, those days have been long gone for a while. And so we're left with a lot of, you know, as I say, 85% charged with a violent crime of either murder, sexual assault, kidnapping, you know, attempt murder, armed robbery. And of the other 15%, that the actual charge might not be as serious, but in their background, they have a murder, they have a sexual assault, or something along those lines. So there's limited ability to go beyond much more where we're at now, which is at 4,500 people.
What are you doing in the jail to keep them away from each other?
Well, and see, that's the thing, too, because there's been a lot of really unhelpful people out there and who have apparently become epidemiologists and correction specialists. We were the first in the country, we looked around, real. We looked to see, was there anybody else doing something better than us? And there was no one doing virtually anything. And the federal government was of no help whatsoever. So we have written the book, and we've been told that. We're out in front of everybody. There is no jail or prison in the country is doing more than us. And we started it in January. Back in January 24th, we started screening everybody coming into the jail to see if they had any signs of COVID. Then I started housing people separately as they came in, so I wasn't infecting the jail by just putting people on the new into living units. And then beyond that, then we started ramping everything up, cutting off visitation, cutting off lawyer visits, testing the staff. So all the staff is all having their temperature taken before they enter the place. The detainees are having their temperature done twice a shift. If someone shows that they have an indication of it, we pull them off the tier, put them in isolation, and that whole tier goes on quarantine until we make sure that it hasn't spread within that.
Your inmates you're talking about, not just a guard. You're talking about people who are actually,
But then if a correctional officer then has got some type of indication, then we examine the tier that they were on to make sure that nothing was brought in there, too. I've reopened closed buildings. I set up a hospital across from in the old boot camp where we had 500 beds. Where right now we have over like 150 people over there now who are positive for COVID, and the people that are, we have about 40 people who've already recovered from COVID too. They're over there as well, finishing up their recovery, and they're going to be heading back over there. And so we've put together literally anything, and I've told people, listen, everyone's making this up as they go along, but apparently we're the best. But if someone has another idea, please let us know, and we'll give it a try. We gave detainees hand sanitizer, which is forbidden usually in jails because it sets fires. But it was like, hey, you know, extreme circumstances, let's get the hand sanitizer in there. I've had to deal with nonsense about people talking about no, they don't have any soap in there. I don't know how many times I've had to answer these idiots on that one. It's like, yes, they have soap, and they have quite a bit of it. I had to deal with some moron this morning who was going on about, you know, oh, I hear there's the conditions there are not. And I'm like, you've never been there, and you're not an epidemiologist, last I checked. And yet, I have these people that are coming up with this stuff, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. It's like, this is, you know, honestly, God, we're working around the clock. My staff has been amazing, and my staff, we're up to now 115 have tested positive, and my staff showing up. And God, you know, God love the health professionals and the police officers and firefighters, but lost in that discussion of the heroes out there, how about this correctional staff of mine? We have a place where I have, you know, 241 people identified with COVID-19 detainees. I have 115 staff, and my staff is showing up every single day. I was out there all day today again, and I'm like, folks, do you need anything? No, Sheriff, we're doing great. We're doing great, Sheriff. They're showing up every day. And I get heroes like Tim Egan at Roseland Hospital, who was taking, he brought over his testing kit. So I've had my correctional officers getting tested every day now. So they're lined up to get tested. I got Phil Stefani's bringing food out next week for our folks. And I've got University of Chicago, Loyola, DePaul, Dominican, North Park, UIC, all helping, you know, with it. Unlike the Northwestern Legal Clinic, which decided for fun and games to file a lawsuit against us today, that we had literally, we had doctors that weren't able to go to their patients today because they had to be on call to respond to questions about whether or not we should be releasing more people from the jail. It's like I got these other universities calling up and saying, how can we help? In Northwestern's legal clinic is, how can we sue you? We asked
them, what are they suing you for, Sheriff?
Saying that we should release more people from the jail. As if I have that ability to do that, even if I wanted to. And we said, listen, these cases are all being reviewed by judges and lawyers to see, are there any people that were missed that are not a danger to society to be released? And now they're saying, well, no, anybody who is of a certain age should be released from the jail. And I was like, well, I hate to give you a newsflash. Some of those folks are charged with very serious offenses, and judges have looked at them. Ask the judges who have evaluated them. And then they've said, you know, well, you have CDC standards. I go, listen, we've looked everywhere. We have wrote the book on how to do this here. And once again, without saying we're perfect, but boy, if there's something that, like, the Northwestern Legal Clinic knows that we should be doing differently, please let us know. We'll try it. We asked them before they filed a lawsuit. I said, as opposed to filing a lawsuit, Northwestern, can you maybe just let us know if you think there's some things we can do better? No, they just want to file a lawsuit. And literally, doctors were not able to work with their patients today because they were having to sit by a phone. They're calling us, and they're like, to the lawyers, they're saying, can we leave the phone now so we can go work with the patients?
Yeah,
and it's like, oh, yeah, that's really helpful.
All right, Sheriff Tom Dart, got your hands full. Thank you very much.